Bring greetings to each of you again this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Enjoyed being here. I trust that you'll be able to stay awake yet for a few more minutes. So we worship together and try to ascertain more what God wants for us, for our relationships, in maintaining sustainable relationships. Maintaining simply means to keep in good repair. So, you have something like a car or a barn or a sewing machine or whatever it might be, the house, and to maintain it simply means to keep it in good repair. Where the paint is coming off, you're going to repaint, or the roof is leaking, you're repairing the roof so you can keep it from rotting the wood away. Before we left to come out here, we made a stop, and I noticed when I started the camper again from having it turned off for a few minutes, I started the camper again, here the oil light was on. Engine oil light came on, and I got concerned it wasn't on before. Thought, oh my, now what do we have? Just the outstart of this trip, we have an oil light that's on. And I understand that if you drive a camper or an engine, you run an engine without oil, it won't be long, you'll have more problems. So it's a warning light that comes on and says you need maintenance. Well, fortunately, it was nothing serious, just apparently a sensor that is overly zealous. And the oil light went off, and that we had good oil pressure, and it's fine. Maybe God has something in store for us on the way home. We don't know, but we trust we'll get home. But our relationships are that way. Sometimes there's warning lights that come on. Sometimes there's maintenance that needs to be done in our relationships. Sustainable means, that's simply an adjective describing the word sustain, which means to provide with nourishment, hold up under. So we're talking about relationships and how do we maintain them? How do we feed into our relationships one with another? How do we feed into them and maintain them so that they can be profitable and wholesome and good? Since the fall of man and the associated curse, there has been a process of decay and death, and we're well aware of that. And that affects life on all spectrums. I came across this illustration. If we take a look at a bearing, you know what a bearing is? What an engine has bearings in it. I talked about the need of oil lubrication. A bearing that receives a consistent amount of grease or oil on a consistent basis will run smoothly for a long time. If sand gets in the bearing, it will be ruined almost instantly. If nothing is done and the bearing is allowed to run dry, it will eventually break down and fall apart. Mechanics know this. Our relationships with each other are just like that. We can choose to insert the carnalities of self-centered living, self-will, backbiting, talking back to each other, me-first attitudes, and we can watch our relationships die before they begin. We can choose to do nothing and watch them decay over time. In other words, just simply choose to... I talked last evening, I believe it was, about putting into a relationship. Well, we can choose to just simply be a taker. You know what a tick does? It hops on your arm and it sucks blood out of you. And we can choose to be a tick and just simply suck blood out of everybody. But we're unwilling to to give into relationships. Or we can choose to put into relationships the virtues of a spirit-filled life, which our brother was just talking about with the children and us. And we can enjoy peaceful, fulfilling relationships for the most part. I mean, there are, not to say there is not going to be times of misunderstandings and times where someone just does not understand. We do not understand. We're not to say we want to have flat spots or hard times. But we want to look at some virtues that maintain relationships. I'd like to move through this. And just look at a few of these. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. We're looking at keeping in good repair our relationships with each other. Keeping in good repair. The first one that I have listed is wholehearted humility. Wholehearted humility. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Wholehearted humility, an humble attitude. Christ-like humility sustains relationships. Children are quick to forgive. You know, the children were filing up here this afternoon, and the benches were getting full. And, well, you know what? It was not a problem. Soon there were children holding children, and they were working it out. Just humble, let's help each other. We have to fit in here. Wholehearted humility. Are you willing to be used to help? Are you willing to give of your time to help someone else? Or does pride stand in the way and put a block there? Humility makes room for others. It makes room for others. Humility makes unity a possibility. Unity a possibility. The chair over here, now it doesn't have a heart, it's not alive. But the chair fit together because parts allowed themselves to be connected. Humility is a key in maintaining relationships. Number two, encouraging empathy. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, what does empathy mean? Empathy is meaning, simply means experiencing as one's own the feelings of another. Feelings as one's own, the feeling, experiencing the feelings of another person. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You see, empathy feels for the other person. We're talking about maintaining relationships. Empathy, this feels, you know, just feels what the other person is feeling. When you're talking with someone, are you able to connect with them and feel what they're feeling? Yes, we know that when we walk through the same experiences, let's say, okay, a death of a loved one, or other dramatic experiences. When someone comes to us and shares with us who has went through the same type of experience, there is a connection there, a feeling there that is different. Are you able to connect with other people's feelings? Empathy feels the unspoken language of another. You see, empathy feels, it feels. Empathy sees the tears coming to the eyes of the individual you're talking to. Or empathy senses the joy in their heart, or whatever it may be. And connects with it. It is needed in our homes. It is needed in our marriages. It's needed in our churches. People who are able to feel for each other. Maintaining relationships. You see, so often a situation looks different when you walk a mile in the other person's shoes. It's so easy for us to make judgments. But until you walk a mile in the other person's shoes, it feels different. Encouraging empathy. I'm really burdened about this point, really. I am. Particularly in feeling the unspoken language. The youth that you sense is withdrawn. Maybe your loving child. But you sense something is different. There's something not at rest. Do you have a relationship? Are you able to feel that? And are you able to say, you know what, son or daughter, let's talk about something. Let's talk tonight. And then are you able to feel and to hear them, to hear where they are, to hear the struggle, and to encouraging. That builds relationship. But you know what? It takes time. It takes time to do it. And I am concerned. In our culture, we have developed, I don't know how we have gotten, we're busy people. We are very busy people, and I'm concerned that we are busy at the expense of some other things. I just want to say that. And we are busy at the expense sometimes of relationships at home. Are you able to feel? Are you able to feel? And I speak to myself in this. Encouraging empathy. Number three, maintaining sustainable relationships takes communication. And I call this one Christian communication, because not all communication is Christian. There is unchristian communication. Now, you know, they tell us that we communicate in primarily two ways. We communicate nonverbally, and we communicate verbally. I'm verbalizing to you, I'm talking to you, speaking to you. They say that 55% of our nonverbal communication is 55% of our communication. The tone of our voice is 38%, and verbal communication, actually what we say, is 7% of communication. So what the studies are telling us is that we communicate more not by what we say, but by what we do. Okay? So I'm talking about Christian communication. We are to bless and not to curse. Blessing involves things like exhortation or encouraging. It involves admonition. It involves speaking the truth in love. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. It is the exercise of Christian communication that keeps the weeds from growing in our relationships. If you do not understand your brother or sister, or if you have a question about something that was said, talk about it. Ask about it. Do not just come up with your preconceived idea of the motive for what was said. Talk about it. Oh, remember, it just comes to my mind now, in the children of Israel, wasn't there a case where there was some altars being built and the one group said they got wind of it and they thought that their brothers were up to something wrong and they were ready to go to war, only to find out the real story and the war was averted. Talk about it. Communicate. And that's one of my concerns with our technology, texting, WhatsApping, Voxing, whatever it may be. You know, there may be things that are communicated that aren't quite clear, or maybe there's a wrong word in there, and just communicate. Ask questions. Do not allow, just keep it clear, keep it up to date. How we communicate and what we communicate will have a major impact on our relationships. Give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the reason they didn't say hi to you was not because they're holding something against you. Maybe it's simply that they didn't realize you were there. They didn't see you. Maybe the reason they didn't wave when they passed you wasn't because they have something against you. Maybe the sun was glaring in their eyes. Give them the benefit of the doubt. But you know, the devil wants to just plant little seeds and it just sits there and just sort of grows. A Christian must be free from false accusation and hypocrisy. James 3, verses 8 to 10. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Relationships are sustained as individuals speak life into each other. The condescending, arrogant heart will be speaking condescending, arrogant words. Angry words and curses inject sand into the bearings of life. And it is the use of words that can drive someone away or bring them closer. Words and body language. Be a good listener. Good listening does not just happen. It takes concern for souls of men. Do not be preoccupied with a personal agenda, but listen closely. It is when a person takes the time to listen when relationships grow. Number 4, maintaining sustainable relationships. And we heard about it this afternoon. Just simply living love. Living love. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I came across this quote from Vines, and I like to read it. Christian love, whether exercised toward the brethren or towards men generally, is not an impulse from the feelings. It does not always run with the natural inclinations, nor does it spend itself only upon those of whom some affinity is discovered or someone who thinks like you. Love seeks the welfare of all and works no ill to any. Love seeks opportunity to do good to all men, and especially the household of faith. Love can be known only by the actions it prompts. You see, love is shown in what it does. Love is shown in what it does. Let us be people in maintaining relationships, sustainable ones, ones that stand up under the pressures. Let us be people who are people of action, love in action. My mother, who some of you may know, she is gone now for a number of years. My mother was a dear mother. And we knew that Mom loved people. When there was a fire in the area, we lived in a very high populated Mennonite old order area. If there was a barn fire or an accident or a death, and she knew the people or had some close connection, she was quick to take soup, cookies, just stop in with, she didn't drive, but she would either, Dad would take her, or they would go together, or someone else would take her. But one of the things that I remember and appreciate about my mother in relation to that was this. Someone asked her, how do you get this together so quick? And I remember her saying, well, I put things in the freezer so that I have it ready if something like this happens. Prepared to serve when the call comes. Living love. Oh, I just love that memory. And you know, it was when we were sitting in the viewing line with people were passing by. Your mother did this for me. Or every birthday or whatever, she would do this. We had no clue. But yet there's a God that knows. And when God prompts you to do something for someone, do it. Speak to myself, do it, because it builds relationship and because God is in it and he wants you to do it. Love is patient and kind. 1 Corinthians 13. When love is present in the heart of a Christian, the whole world can look brighter. We take attention off ourselves and we serve others, maintain relationships. We could go in looking at the different types of love. We won't do that. I do not want to keep you long. But the Christian love, the agape love, is love that is indwelling us by the Spirit of God in who we are, and shines out to others, even when mistreated or when falsely accused. It is the love that can keep going. You know, the city of Philadelphia is called the city of love. It means the city of brotherly love. But yet, I am told some time ago that in the city of Philadelphia, there's about one murder per day in the city of brotherly love. You see, love is love by the actions it prompts. It's revealed by what we do. We can say we love our brethren, but the Bible says if we do not love them, we're a liar. When we say we love God and do not love our brother, we're a liar. If we fail in getting the first commandment settled in our heart, we will fail in practicing the second as well. Number five, my last point, and that is grateful giving. And I talked about that just a little bit ago. But grateful giving. How many times have you been blessed by the thoughtfulness of someone who simply just shared with you? Maybe it was advice. Maybe it was a material gift of some sort. But relationships are strengthened as we gratefully share with each other the blessings of life. Proverbs 17, verse 8, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. I believe this verse is referring to the fond bond, the fond feelings of friendship we experience as we use the gifts that may have been given to, as we use the things that may have been given to us as a gift. In other words, as you use something that's been given to you, you think of the person and you remember, and it's a fond memory, friendship. Well, the same is true when you give to others. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Grateful giving. You want to maintain relationships? Be a giver. Be a giver. I'd like to conclude by reading Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. You may turn there. If you care to. Do relationships matter to God? Yes, they matter. A saint in heaven will first have been a saint on earth. 25, 31 to 36. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I read this portion to simply say, yes, we must be concerned about doing things. We must do things. We know that. Faith without works is dead. But we also must be very concerned about being. About being. You know, when you're being, and you are a Christian, you're being, you're living the life, the new song, okay? You're living the new song of Christian experience. You're going to live and you're going to touch people. You're going to have relationships with people. And you're not even going to know the cups of water. But God knows. There's a reward coming, brethren and sisters. Oh, let's be faithful. Let's challenge each other to love and to good works. Let's be builders, not takers. Let's strengthen each other up. God bless you all. Thank you for your kind attention. God bless your church life as you pull together.